of Dicks is the name of the podcast, okay? These guys are hilarious, oh, all right?
Amazing.
There's a dude named Mike and Napier. That's great. Yeah. And there's, I think there's a dude named Travis on there, and they're just hilarious.
Do they have social media?
They do.
I'm checking it out.
Yes. Just wheelbarrow full of dicks.
I want to check out that wheelbarrow full of dicks.
WFOD. You could Google that.
WFOD.
But, dude, they're just so fucking funny. This guy, Mike, is, he tells it like it is, better than anybody. He does not hold back either. I find I'm holding back sometimes, and I'm ashamed of myself when I do it. This motherfucker, he just goes off and tells it like it is. So, dude. My hat's off to you, boy.
Salute, man.
Yeah.
Say how you feel.
Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. I am Mike. I'm joined by my co-host, of course, Mr. Mike Napier.
So,
and via Skype, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Happy cheat day!
Happy what?
It's my cheat day!
Oh, Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday is my cheat day.
So
I get to eat anything I want and drink as much as I want and spend.
You're an adult. You can do that every day.
Well, I can if I would like to remain a big fat asshole.
We're joined by a very special guest because it is, in fact, podcast month. Mr. Sean Freeman of many podcasts, the Zombie Cast and the Knuckleballer Radio and the new one is
the Social Dozen.
Yeah, man, it's a new thing. I gotta ask you about that in a little bit, but first we have to clear the air, Sean.
All right, man, it's all good, dude. First off, thanks for having me on, man. Dude, I'm so stoked and such a fan, man. This is pretty awesome.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing, Sean. That's what I want to talk to you about.
Yeah, man, yeah.
Sean, the only thing, I don't know you. The thing I know about you is what I've been told.
Right.
I've had friends over the years that have just said that you're bad news.
Just flat out bad news.
But yeah, you've been very, very kind to us in the time that we've been talking on the social medias. You seem like a really nice guy. So my question for you is, are you just trying to charm me and trick me into giving you our password?
Yeah, dude, I need your password. You know, there's a history. You know, I've been podcasting, I guess, for 6 years. I started off on a show called, it was a Knuckleball Cast. Me and this youth minister done a show. And what that show is like we would bring any topics to the table and take turn, and we would call them pitches. So, you know, first round of pitches, you know, like I could have some new shoes or I went to a theme park today. You know, any topic under the sun. And then I started a show called Zombie Cast. And, you know, sometimes whenever you start a show with people, they're not as passionate as you are. You know, when you're the one that edits and records and does all the fine tuning.
Oh, boy, howdy, tell me about it. You're speaking my language, Sean. Yeah.
Tell me about it.
And then whenever, you know, you realize maybe you didn't start it with the right people and you just kick them off the show, you know, then you're considered the bad guy. But when you prevail from the actions that you took, I'm rewarded now. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I'm not a bad guy. You know, those were, you know, me and the Beardy Guy are really good friends now. You know, we had never done a show together.
The Beardy Guy. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, it's
but,
just
well, like, he wasn't on the show with you.
No, he was not on the show with me. But
I think he's the guy who took your place on their subsequent zombie show that they made after your zombie show.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, the one guy that it started, we'll say Mr. F. We'll leave it at that. You know, it's when you start a show, the last thing that you want to hear every day is how broke you are and how poor you are and this and that, how you just can't survive in life. You know what? I podcast for happy things. You know, and I'm always a happy guy, you know. But you know, like anybody, if you just drop the ball and drop them, you know, you're going to be instantly considered a bad guy.
Your side of the story is you did a show with a couple of guys who you didn't want to do a show with, and you took ownership of the show and said, I don't want to do this show with you guys, but I'm going to continue doing the show.
Yeah, yeah, but, you know, I created the show. You know, before I ever asked one host to join the show, I'd created the feed, I'd created the intro, I'd created the logo, and said, all right, I want to start a show called ZombieCast. And then, you know, I asked people to come on, and it just didn't work out. You know,
and for the record, guys, I love Rick Titus.
Right.
Rick Titus is a really good guy. So if Rick is one of the guys that you had the issue with, I don't know what your issue with him was, but Rick is a good dude.
Rick lives a half a mile from me, and I've had many pints with Rick. And, you know, it's whenever I...
And we're talking a lot of inside baseball here. I wanted to hear the story about you stealing somebody's podcast. Now we're talking about a bunch of specifics. It's not interesting.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But you know what? You know, Rick quit the show once I kicked the one guy off. And then, you know, I just said, you know, I'll carry on. You know, it was something that I created. But
and the show is successful? You enjoy doing the show? It's a fun thing for you. But you do so many podcasts. So how do you have all this time to do all these shows?
Dude,
you have children and a wife and things.
All right.
What are you doing with your life, Sean? That's what I want to know.
Okay. I'm a welder by day, dude. I weld like 6 days a week. You know, I'm welding. And, you know, I created a hobby, which is podcasting. So I started doing podcasting, and now I've gotten into DJing to where, you know, I'm DJing at clubs and stuff like that just for fun money. But the podcasting, you know, we're over on the All Games Radio Network, which is from the creator of G4 TV. So, you know, on Monday nights is ZombieCast. Thursday nights is Knuckleballer Radio. And we created a new show. See, I'm sure you guys have a lot of podcast friends, right, that you would like to do shows with.
We have some, sure.
You know, people, you know, that I'm like, yeah, I'd like to do a show with you, 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 and you. So I created a show over the last 2 months called The Social Dozen. And what The Social Dozen is, there's a Baker's Dozen. There's 13 of us hosts, right?
That's too many hosts.
What? 3 months at a time, we draw names out of a hat. In groups of three, in the last week of the month, we draw four names. So, like, the first show was me and three guys. We start off with a four-man show, and we go to Facebook, go to the trending, and cover, like, the top 20 trending topics with inside stories of how we feel. You know, just like guys on a front porch talking. Say, like, four on the front porch having a pint, and you're like, you know what? Fuck that Hillary Clinton. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, if it's politics or if it's, like, David Bowie or whatever. But each month... Each host does one show a month. So The Social Dozen, I've already done my show for this month. So the next 3 weeks, it is the rest of the people mixed up. But next month, it's a whole another mix up. You know, I'll be doing The Social Dozen 1 week, but I'll have two other hosts with me.
I guess that would be a good thing, like, you know, to get the people who enjoy listening to you do podcasts will then listen to the show to hear other people. And maybe they'll say, hey, I kind of like that guy. You know, I'll listen to his show. Now, it's a good idea in theory, but what if they hate most of the other people? Then they're not going to listen to your show.
True.
I just feel like I'm going to listen to 13 people, and I'm probably going to hate 9 of them.
Yeah, you might hate 9 of them, but you might like all 13. You know, it's just a lottery. But these are 13 other hosts.
He's shaking his head no.
You got to think about talking to Mike, though. Mike is automatically going to think he hates every single one of them before he even goes into it.
Well, he's right most of the time. He does hate most things.
Well, yeah, but because he's got a preconceived notion about all of the things he's going to hate at some point, even though he has no exposure to it at all.
But, you know, it's a roll of the dice. It's something that I'm trying. But it's people that I love in the podcast world, people that I look up to that said yes to come on my show. So, you know, we're going to give it a go. You know, if it works, it works. If it don't, it don't.
Did you get your invite, Mike?
I did not. I was not invited to be part of The Social Dozen, Travis.
Dude, that would be so awesome, man. You know, I didn't know if you guys love me or hate me or what. You know?
I don't know yet either, Sean. But, I mean, you're charming me now. I'm starting to think about giving you the password, man.
The password. And for the record, I really love some Rick Titus, man. I see him all the time. You know, it was a mishap that shouldn't have happened over the FB guy. You know, when I booted the FB guy, you know, Rick said, all right, I'm done, I'm out. And I said, I'm out, but, you know, I carried on something that I created. So I have much love for Rick, man. I talk to his wife all the time. I put the PTA meetings at school, and you know, he's got a great kid, Charlie. And dude, I really do like the Titus family, man. They're good people.
I have kind of lost contact with him, but I do really like him, and I didn't want this to be like me talking to you. I didn't want that to be like a betrayal of Rick Titus, because I really do like that guy.
No, but
I just wanted to throw in. I just wanted to throw in that I love Rick Titus, just so that when it, you know, comes, oh, he had Sean Freeman on the show, the guy who wants to free the Man Daddy Five. He wants to free all five of them.
Dude, I have much love, and I'm nothing but love. You know what? You can have you can have five people pointing that you're a bad guy, but you can have 40,000 pointing that you're a good guy in return every week. So, yeah, I mean, you know, you can't please everybody.
Well, and it's typically the bad guy ones that are going to stick out. Nobody wants to hear about a nice guy, but everybody likes a villain.
Yeah, man. But you know what? For WFOD, you know, we had some of the same listeners. And last year they turned me on to you guys and wanted me to come on for podcast month. It didn't work out. But I want to say, man, I play you guys. We have a day in our shop, or every day, I've gotten people used to podcasts, so I play podcasts, dude. And the whole shop where I'm at on WFOD Day is so fucking happy, man, because they love your show. That they love the raccoon stories. They like the drunk stories, dude. They like the Mike, you know, Mike changing the world stories, man. But my whole shop is huge fans of you guys, so they're going to be stoked, man, that you guys had me on.
Napier, do you have any raccoon updates or anything? We haven't talked about your raccoon in a while.
Yeah.
Since you threw the charcoal briquettes at him, has he been back?
Yep.
Oh.
And now all the babies are grown, but I think the mom's dead. So
is she up there?
Don't smell her.
You barricaded it closed, and we thought that maybe the babies were still up there.
They were. We saw them poking their heads out, so we had
to... What are they eating? How are they staying? Are they eating each other?
No, we had to open it up. We couldn't let the babies starve to death.
Okay, so they were banging around in there, and you felt bad, so you opened up their passageway again.
We have just...
You're really bad at getting rid of pests. You feel for the pests?
They've annexed the roof. It's just theirs now. I mean, we can't fight it anymore.
Do you feed them?
No, I don't feed them.
I mean, you could, like, throw up your leftovers. You know, my dad has a squirrel.
Yeah.
That lives in his tree out in front of his house. And he throws all of their food after they eat it out into the yard. And the squirrel eats all the food. And, like, he bitches about how much noise the squirrel makes when it runs across his house. But he loves that damn squirrel.
Is that squirrel, like, 700 pounds?
The squirrel is really, really fat, Travis. You can see the size of this squirrel.
When the wife and I got together, we lived in a duplex together, and we had a squirrel as well. And I did the same thing where I tossed leftovers out the back door. And this same squirrel would eat them. It would eat a pumpkin. It would eat broccoli. It would eat a fucking leftover burrito. One time, the wife got me a cake for my birthday. And we had each taken like a bite out of it and decided this cake was the worst thing that ever existed. So I took this cake, flipped it upside down outside, like by the wood line. We look out the window and here's this squirrel literally standing on top of the cake, devoured the whole fucking thing. This squirrel, I swear, had to have been 20 pounds. It was like a house cat. And after that cake incident, we never saw it again. So I assumed that it had a heart attack and died.
But that's one of the only things that my dad calls me to tell me is, like, what Rocky the squirrel will eat. Yeah, no, the squirrel eats macaroni and cheese.
Well, you know, I kind of had a similar problem. I've got three kids, so they're all the time opening the garage, and we had a mouse in our garage. So I was like, you know, I don't want to get the decon. I don't want to kill the mouse. You know, so I'll leave the door open. Hopefully he'll run out. And my wife went out the other day and went out to get something out of the car and closed the door. And I went out the next morning, and there were like six little baby frozen mice right at the door. So I guess they went out there to play. They'd had babies, but she froze all of them because she shut the damn door on them, man. And they got froze up. So
murderer.
Yeah, man. But they're a little nuisance. You know, you don't want to hurt them, but then you go in your Christmas boxes, and they done got in there and ate this and ate Santa's beard. And, you know, maybe I got to go the decon route. I don't know.
So you do this show about the zombies, right? And this was something that I talked to with Matt Leroy all the time when he was involved in the zombie podcast.
Yeah.
Are there weeks that you just hate it? Because I imagine it's hard to populate a show with content every week. about zombie shit.
Man, just from the zombie news feeds, man, just doing the news stories. And, you know, a lot of times we'll have a movie of the week. But, you know, here recently we've been getting the Z Nation guys on. So we just had Doc on and then the creator and I think Murphy's coming on in 2 weeks.
Is that on Spike or something?
Sci-fi.
Yeah, which is a good show, but it's better if you binge watch it. But, you know, it's getting the guest on, you know, whenever the season is off. You know, so like if we have Greg Nicotero on or, you know, a lot of times there's build up to guests like that. 2 weeks in between, you know, we'll talk about, you know, we got an oncoming guest. But then a lot of times it's just general talk, man, you know, of horror. I mean, I don't know. We produce 2 hours every week. And people keep returning and like the content. But, you know, I thought that whenever I first started ZombieCast, I was like, how can I keep this going? Is it possible?
Just a matter of finding something that you're that passionate about that you're willing to talk about for 2 hours a week.
Like last week, we showed up, you know, we was like, we'll just do news stories. And we mentioned Stephen King, so we went to IMDb for Stephen King, you know, and went through the Stephen King movies. You know, what's your favorite? What's this? What's that? You know, was Cujo good? Was it not? You know, It? Should they remake it? But it's always something. You know, I think chemistry and flow, just like with you guys. I'm sure with the crew of WFOD, if you just hit the record button after the show, it would be entertaining and people would listen. Just of your general conversation, that's what I love about your show is just the life events that you guys have, just the general front porch conversation.
That's the thing that I'm the most passionate about. Me,
yeah. And you know, and you're changing the world, man, one step at a time. You know, all these guys. You know, who cares? I care. Freeman cares. So anytime you hear the drunk one say, "Who cares, man?" Think in the back of your mind.
Who cares?
Freeman cares.
Drunk's going on hiatus soon. We're going to need another negative Nancy in here. Travis is just going to have to start drinking more.
No problem.
Yeah, there we go.
But, you know, you guys have a lot of guests on here, man. And I don't think it's preached enough, man. You guys are really awesome, man. And I'm so glad I was turned on to you guys, man.
I fucking like this Sean guy,
Mike. Yeah, I know, Travis. But see, the problem is... You don't have the password.
I can't even get the goddamn password.
I'd probably give it to you, Travis, if you asked for it.
Nah, I don't need that responsibility.
You sure?
Yeah.
Well, Mike, you edit the show.
I do.
And you keep it up, right? You have passion for the show.
Yeah.
Maybe a little more than the other guys. Just a little bit.
You said a little more, a lot more.
I'd say a lot more.
but you put your heart and soul into it, right? That's your baby.
Right, right.
You feel me, right?
The show's my baby.
Right.
I tried firing drunk.
No, you didn't.
I did. Do you remember when I tried to fire drunk and he just talked me out of it?
No, you passively, aggressively just like shit on him for like a month and a half, seeing if you could like vaguely get him to not want to go to the show by being
No,
mean
we
to
had
him.
An episode where I tried to fire drunk.
Yeah, he had a performance review.
I told him that every time we plan a bit around him, he either no shows or shits on it and doesn't want to do it, and that he's awful and that
yeah, but you were
I
laughing.
Should fire him.
You were laughing the entire time
and then
as if it were a bit.
Made me feel bad and made it into a thing where it was really my fault.
You were laughing during the entire thing.
You don't think
thing.
I was really trying to fire drunk?
No, I don't think at any
How
time.
How could we actually fire drunk, though? I mean, he just shows up halfway through the show. Do I just lock the door and not answer it?
No, you never will fire drunk because you're too passive. You will give him, like, vague, snide remarks during the show.
Well, I mean, what does drunk do, really?
He gives us
drinks
his presents.
Drinks your soda pop.
Drunk, like, shows up, and I find fun things to do with drunk. I mean, like, drunk doesn't actually do anything.
Well, what was he brought on to do? He was brought in to show up and be a presence.
He just started showing up with Paul. And then Paul stopped doing the show, and he kept coming.
No, he asked you, should he still keep coming? And you said, yeah, sure, whatever. Instead of, well, I don't know, it's going to be awkward. We should sit on this for a few weeks.
Yeah, but yeah, if I ask somebody if I should show up to something and they say, yeah, whatever... I would kind of figure that they don't actually want me there.
No, I mean, I like drunk. But I'm just saying, like, drunk doesn't have, like a thing.
Well, you've grown to love drunk, I think.
He's the man, though. Yeah, drunk is the man.
He has an entire room full of dressers.
You know, the thing about you guys is everybody brings themselves to the table, man, and that's what makes a good show. You know, whenever I first started podcasting, I was like, I don't know what to do. You know, I don't know how to do it. So I went to Barnes & Noble, and I looked in a book. It said it was Podcasting for Dummies. Right?
There was a podcast book?
A Podcasting for Dummies book, and the number one rule to podcasting was you win or lose a listener in the first 20 seconds. If they turn you off in the first 20 seconds, you'll never get them back.
Oh, no.
So you guys are always like, boom, I mean, right into it, man, and it sucks, well, man, and that's the way I try to be. Now, if you were doing a show to where, you know, everybody was just mopey when they come in, you would maybe have to rethink your host, right, Mike? Honestly.
Just sighing every time he says, like, a headline.
Dude, any show you listen to,
I like being hype, man, hype. Any show you listen to, man, I'm like, boom. Yeah, I like being happy, man.
Do you have anything like in the coat closet to keep you moving, keep it fresh?
Yeah, dude.
Do you have like one of those kitten posters hanging from the tree?
Says hanging in there.
Yeah, dude.
I got one of those. I got one of those at work. I hung it up on the wall and nobody ever took it down. It's not really like my office. It's kind of a general work area, but I hung up that kitten and it just kind of stays there. I guess because it makes everybody feel good.
Has anybody ever commented on it?
No.
No.
I don't think anybody's noticed it.
I have an Emo Phillips joke that I wrote on my cubicle that keeps me going. And everybody who stops by looks at like, what the fuck is wrong with this dude?
Do you say it in your head all the time in his voice?
Yeah, every time. I mean, you can't not read it in his voice.
Napier, who's Emo Phillips?
Are you shitting me? Really?
I don't know either. I'm not too sure who Emo Phillips is.
Emo Phillips did a lot of stuff with Weird Al back in the 80s.
Like, he if I great. Saw his face, would I recognize him?
No, you would know the voice. Like, he's got a very particular voice, I guarantee you.
Do an impression of Emo Phillips for me.
Well, I can't do it because I can't get my voice to do that.
See, I got Hunter S. Thompson quote right by my toolbox at work. Picture of Hunter S. Thompson, I don't know if you guys...
Are we just
going
to
keep up with him?
Are we going to skirt past the Emo Phillips thing? Travis has an Emo Phillips impression.
Let me look him up. I really don't know who he is.
We don't utilize the Travis impressions enough, I feel.
Emo Phillips has been doing stand-up since the 80s. He was bigger like in the 80s, but his stand-up is amazing. The jokes are amazing. Every comedian that you ever heard of lists him as one of their major influences in comedy. He's fucking spectacular. His jokes are just the greatest.
Oh, you kind of say Pee-wee Herman.
Bigger
he does
nose.
He kind of look like Pee-wee Herman, but longer haired, longer straight hair.
You know who else kind of looks like Pee-wee Herman? That Ted Cruz fella. Have you seen the Ted Cruz guy? He kind of looks like a older,
chubbier,
fatter,
yeah,
kind of mixed with the Despicable Me guy.
Are you talking Ted about Cruz. Rafael Cruz?
Is his name Rafael? Is Ted like a nickname?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not much of a political guy, but that Ted Cruz guy is such a hateable nerd.
Yeah. I can see that.
Did you see the video of him doing the Simpsons characters?
No.
Smithers, release the hounds. Excellent.
Heidly ho, neighbor. Oakley doakley, neighborino.
Kang and Kodos. In one of the great classic episodes when they run for president. I'm running for president now, and you know, it's really tough.
Forward, not backwards. Upwards, not downwards. And always twirling for freedom.
I have been told many times, I have a face for radio, and I have a face for animation.
There was a story about the Ted Cruz. The Ted Cruz had a commercial recently that one of the actresses they cast in the commercial has done a bunch of Skinamax movies.
Cool.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, so her name's Amy Lindsay, and they made this commercial. They ran it a couple of times, and somebody probably recognized her because, you know, they've jacked to her a few times. I mean, like, this was just straight off her IMDb, which I would think that if you're casting somebody would probably be the first thing that you would check, right? What else they've been in, you know, things like that, right?
Yeah, she does have an official website.
So she has been in such movies as Carnal Wishes, and Sex Sent Me to the ER, which isn't a movie. That was a TV show that did not run very long. Celebrity Sex Tape, Animal Lust, MILF.
Oh, MILF.
Deviant Whores.
Sounds good.
As opposed to non-deviant whores.
I mean, you can't really... I mean, some of these you could probably think they might not be about what you think they're about. Deviant Whores, I'm pretty sure, is a smut film.
Yeah, or and it'd be hard to argue for The Erotic Traveler.
Sex Spa 2, Body of Work. She was not in the original Sex Spa, but she was in the sequel.
Oh, she did show up for part 2. That's excellent. Yeah.
And she was in an episode of Star Trek Voyager.
Excellent. As? Was it a whore?
I'm sure she was a lady of the night on the holodeck.
So, she was in a Ted Cruz commercial. I don't think Ted Cruz was in the Ted Cruz commercial.
Trying to appeal to those pent-up Christian voters. It's like, it's a secret. I know who this lady is. She's from my Skinamac programs.
The softcore stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, like where, like just by looking at where their crotches are lined up, you know that they're not actually doing anything.
Because no. they try to sell the shit out of it.
Because,
though.
I mean, she's like way up on his belly button, and it's not going to work.
Maybe he's really long in its butts, going in the butts. Sounds you never awesome. Had awkward sex before?
All the time.
Maybe not that awkward.
Not when I'm videotaping it.
Well, do you put on a performance
in a very artful way?
You have to, right? You'd light some candles and get the lighting just right.
Spend hours getting the lighting just right.
Time, and then record it for
and you have
and a
gal
minutes.
That looks very similar to the actual gal that like stays there, you know, just to make sure that it's lined up correctly.
Well, the production value of this video is great, but it's only 45 seconds.
That's why they made Loop, right?
Yeah. You set it up for your Vine. Perfect.
We got off on a tangent, though. We were talking about it. What were we talking about?
Rafael Cruz.
No, we were talking about Carney Wilson.
We were? I don't remember Carney Wilson coming up in this.
No. Emo Phillips.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been sitting reading some of his quotes. And
you got any good ones?
They're definitely out there.
So what's the quote that's on your desk?
I was walking around the mall the other day, and I saw my friend Billy from elementary school. And I walk up to Billy, and I slap him on the back, and I'm like, "How you doing, you old moron?" And Billy starts crying, "Mommy, Mommy." And that's when I realized...
You wrote all of this by your desk?
Yeah.
You killed the punchline, Mike!
Oh, I'm sorry. Start the joke over.
Okay.
I'll edit all this out so that the punchline's right.
So I was in the mall the other day, and I see my friend Billy from elementary school. And I walk up to Billy, and I slap him on the back. Like,
you guys
hey,
still have malls by you?
Malls? Most of them have closed.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's really dated because we don't have malls anymore.
Napier, we got to get the whole thing in, and Travis cut you off there. I'm sorry to do this to you, but start over again.
Oh, okay. So I slap Billy on the back, and I'm like, "Hey, Billy, how you doing, you old moron?" And Billy starts crying, "Mommy, Mommy." And that's when I realized that if that was my old friend from elementary school, he would have grown up too. No. Oh, come on.
When's the punchline, though?
That was the punchline.
So the kid obviously wasn't...
Cut out.
It wasn't Billy.
No, was the kid Billy's son?
No.
How did he make that mistake? I thought him and Billy were friends.
Because he looked at this kid. He's like, "Oh, that's my old friend from elementary school," not realizing that, you know.
Okay, so he thought it was Billy.
He thought it was Billy.
Oh, so he thought he was still a kid.
No, he thought, Jesus Christ, guys, you're killing everything.
This
here.
Is the joke that you, of all the jokes, this yes. is the one that you have next to your desk?
Yes.
And you read it, like, a lot?
No, I make other people read it, and then they get confused, and then they like, "Ah, I get it."
Oh, so there is a point where people get it.
You guys weren't following along.
So, like, you watch Home Alone.
Yes.
And you see Macaulay Culkin.
Yes.
And that's your Macaulay Culkin.
Yes.
To where maybe if you saw Macaulay Culkin now, you wouldn't actually know that that's the same person, because in your mind, that's Macaulay Culkin.
Do you mean the lead singer of the Pizza Underground?
Yeah.
Yeah, that Macaulay Culkin.
So Billy did grow up, but in his mind, Billy is forever that young boy, because that's where they left.
No, it's called a joke.
Sean, did you get the joke?
I'm trying to look for a description, maybe online. Maybe my mic cut it. Maybe my headphones cut out. I don't know. Maybe I'm.
Sean didn't hear the joke, Napier. Tell Sean the joke again.
No.
This reminds me of the baby in the strip joint joke, where it took a long time, but I think we finally cracked it.
You know, we have Alexa Echo here, and the kids are always asking her jokes, and they just added Yo Mama jokes. So my kids are always asking Alexa, tell me a Yo Mama joke. And
Alexa is Amazon Siri, right?
Right, right.
Like, Alexa, add lube to the shopping list.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, you can ask her jokes. Like, the kids will say, Alexa, tell Yo Mama to tell me a joke, and she'll say, Yo Mama's so fat. You got to grease the doors and wiggle a Twinkie on the other side to get her through. And stuff like that, man, it's just sometimes it's ones that I've never heard.
But that sounds really hateful.
A lot of them are hateful on the Yo Mama.
Napier, does Emo Phillips have any Yo Mama jokes?
No, he was around before all that happened.
Oh. Ooh, you know who I really like is that guy who played Fez. He had an MTV show called Yo Mama, and man, he's a hell of a comedian.
The guy who plays Fez?
In the 70s show.
Yep, the 70s show. He had a show on MTV called Yo Mama, and boy, comedic talent right there.
He's been with the hottest girls in the world.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. They've been showing, IFC has been running that 70s show like every day for like 5 hours a day, and I'll turn it on. It's like my go-to channel because it's at the bottom of the guide. And to see him as Fez, and actually to see him now, he's on the From Dusk Till Dawn series. That is right. One good-looking fucking dude, and I cannot believe it came out of that Fez guy.
So how is the new Dusk Till Dawn series?
I watched the first season. I have the second season queued up on Netflix. I really enjoyed it. The first season is exactly like the movie, just elongated. But it seems like the second season will probably go off on a tangent.
We just had the director from a lot of those on ZombieCast, Ed Sanchez, which did Witch Project.
Yep.
And Ed Sanchez, you know, he's been on 4 or 5 times on ZombieCast, but really good guy.
Hoping that they would continue with the Blair, because I think the Book of Shadows, the second one, I don't think he had anything to do with that one necessarily, but I really thought that they could have continued that. I think that's really underrated, Book of Shadows.
It's not zombies, though. It's vampires.
Vampires, but he come on. The reason he come on was to talk a horror movie. He just put out a movie called Exist about Bigfoot. It's a pretty violent movie, and he got the guy that actually played Harry and the Hendersons' Bigfoot guy to play his Bigfoot.
Nice.
But a much scarier version, which rips people apart and stuff. But it's got to exist. But that's why it come on. Yeah, I mean, ZombieCast. I mean, it's horror.
It's about, so Bigfoot runs around. Why have they not made a lot of Bigfoot killing people movies?
Bobcat Goldthwait did a Bigfoot movie. Yeah. A found footage Bigfoot movie. It was very good. Willow Creek.
I think they've made Bigfoot into like too, you know, happy and smiley of a guy. Bigfoot should be killing people.
Ripping them apart, right?
Yeah, I mean, you got Harry and the Hendersons and the, well, I guess the beef jerky commercials are kind of violent, but they're you know, fun spirited. There needs to be some mean Bigfoots out there.
What about Sasquatches?
I need to get you guys up with Ed, man, and get him on here. I know you guys like doing the interviews from Dusk Till Dawn, man. You know, he's pretty passionate about it. So, yeah, I got a question for you guys. Whatever happened to the Name the Baby contest? Now I put Lamont out there, and I never heard anything. Lamont.
That's pretty good.
For Mike calling the new baby.
What do you think about Lamont?
A guy or a girl, Lamont would work.
No.
Lamonta for.
Yeah, Lamonda.
Yeah, Lamonda.
No.
I mean, it's kind of died out, and I didn't know if I missed the name, the baby, what Mike's going to call the baby or what.
Nobody cared.
And the finger, man. The finger story, man. I've been on the edge.
Sean, I have something to tell you. Coming up later on this show in a little while, we might get the thrilling conclusion of the finger story.
Dude, man.
I'm waiting with bated breath.
We put... Did you sense the sarcasm there in what Travis said?
Slightly. I don't think he believes the story. I don't think the story is...
It makes complete sense that people wouldn't contact the authorities when they receive a human appendage in the mail.
I put a poll up on the website and on Twitter. Do you want to hear the end of the finger story? And the results were completely split down the middle. Half the people wanted to hear the story, and half the people had no interest in knowing what happened.
So, Mike, now you're the man in charge, and now it's all on your shoulders. Do we get the finger, or do we not get the finger?
Sean, did you vote?
I voted finger, man.
You did vote. I was going to say you could be the deciding vote. Do you want to stick around, or do you want to hear it later?
Dude, I'll stick around, man. I'm good.
Okay. We're going to see if we can get Shannon on to finish the finger story.
Yay, fingers.
This is Strange Label.
Why did God make poodles? Find out on the Chris Brink Show on Strange Label, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern.
There are up and down songs. There are side-to-side songs. Occasionally, there's the perfect beat that embodies the true spirit of the Dick Helicopter. The Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program is proud to induct another member into the Dick Helicopter Hall of Fame. We salute you and welcome you to the Dick Helicopter Hall of Fame. Now back to the show.
Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks. Population, you.
Just the surprises that you guys give, man, like the finger story, is keeps us on edge, man.
See, the finger story was somebody, she's on a show, and her co-hosts paid no attention to her while she was telling the finger story.
They didn't give a shit at all.
They could give a fuck about the finger story. And I was listening to it, I was like, how can you not give a fuck about the finger story? I mean, even if you fuck with her and say this is bullshit, I mean, there's still so much content there. And to just ignore it, it was baffling to me.
Well, yeah, if we're going to talk about stories that you might think would be possibly made up, not saying Shannon's story is, but there was another story that popped up. Actually, my wife had mentioned something and said, did you hear about this lady? This lady's husband had hired some guys to murder her. Right, so he hired some guys to murder his wife.
So he actually did.
He hired guys. This is a real thing that happened.
He hired guys to murder his wife.
He apparently didn't care for her too much anymore and wanted her out of the picture. So he hired some guys to kill her. So he assumed that they had gone through with the job he hired them for. But there was no body. They never found a body. You know, he's like, oh, she disappeared. There's no body. We're going to hold this funeral anyway. And midway through the funeral...
How do you hold a funeral if... I mean, she's still, like, a missing person?
Yeah, well, they do... I think they found enough evidence for them to believe that she was murdered, so he held a funeral.
What did they find?
I guess I wouldn't know. Oh. But they did hold this funeral for this lady, and midway through this funeral for this dead wife that he had hired guys to kill, she showed up.
To the funeral?
Showed up to her closed casketed funeral to surprise the husband that hired dudes to kill her.
Did she know?
Yeah, because the guys that were hired to kill her actually showed up to kill her and then decided to let her go instead. I assume because she performed... fellatio on both of them, and they're just like,
were they at the funeral?
Good enough. No, the murderers? I don't think so. The potential murderers? I don't think they were there.
So why did they let her go?
Like I said, I'm sure she probably talked her way out of it.
And are they going to murder him instead?
They're going to murder anybody. I think they took the money and ran.
Oh. See, that would get you like a really bad Yelp score, I would imagine, though.
Why does they care?
The Hitman app?
Yeah. I wouldn't hire those guys to do jobs. They do bad jobs.
Yeah, they don't complete jobs. They'd have to sit down and have a performance review with them and then just let them keep coming anyway.
Yeah, I mean, since this guy is probably in trouble, I think he should name names. He should say, like, where he got the information as to, like, who to hire. How would you even hire somebody to kill somebody? What would you do? Would you go on Craigslist?
A buddy?
Like a buddy who is into, you know, the underground murder scene?
You know, crackheads will do a lot for like $3.
Yeah, true. But see, you don't want to hire a crackhead.
But they'll give you around the world, man, for like $1.50. So I'm sure. I don't know, man. Maybe a buddy.
I mean, I think that I would want to hire a reputable hitman.
Those are probably expensive and hard to find.
Maybe they could just like make hypotheticalmurderers.com, and they just say this is for entertainment purposes, but it's not. And then, like, you can go on there and you can see, like, you know, what the hitmans actually do, but you just do it with a wink.
Yeah, it's theater.
The guy only got 9 years for indictment to commit murder.
Well, I mean, nobody actually died.
It's true.
Was the wife hot?
Not really.
I mean, like if you were hired to go murder somebody and you were single and she showed you some panties and warmed up to you... Maybe you'd let her go. Maybe that's what she did. She hooked them up.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I would think, though, that she would have to be a certain degree of hot, because I would imagine that a really attractive woman is the only one that could really make you that crazy to try to murder her.
Would that be awkward sex?
Like afterwards?
Yeah. For her or for them?
For all of them. For all of them.
Oh, here's Shannon.
So excited about the finger man.
Shannon!
Boys, how are you?
Shannon, I ran a poll.
You ran a poll on Twitter?
On Twitter and on the website, asking if anybody actually wanted to know the rest of the finger story or not.
And the fans,
it
what
was
did they say?
50-50 yes. Was the final answer.
50-50?
Yeah, it was 50-50. Half people wanted to know the finger story and half people didn't. So I'm making an executive decision here. I'm deciding... I want to know how the finger story ends. Now,
yes,
guys. Shannon, meet Sean. Sean, Shannon.
Oh, Sean. Hi. Nice to meet you. What are you doing here? Who are you?
It's podcast month, Shannon.
Oh, what show are you on?
He's on all the other shows that aren't our shows.
Oh, okay.
Shannon.
Yeah.
So, to give a quick recap, your mother was mailed what she believed to be a finger in the mail.
Yes, a finger in a glass tube mounted on a plaque with a little bronze, like, tiny plaque on it that said, like, subject 224 or something.
The reason that we had you on our show was because we felt the co-hosts on your show, Not Safe for Water Coolers, heard Tuesday nights on strangelabel.com. We felt that the co-hosts on your show did not give the finger story the clock that it truly deserved.
That's correct, yeah. They glossed over it and moved on to frozen mac and cheese.
The overall consensus that I've gotten from listeners to our show is that your mother was crazy to not immediately call the police.
Right. I kind of wondered that myself.
That was what people seemed to overwhelmingly say, is they couldn't believe that they would get all this crazy stuff and not alert the authorities as to what happened. Okay, so now we're caught up. Shannon, yeah, you have the floor. Let's hear the rest of the finger story.
Okay, so...
Shannon, before you start, is this going to disappoint me a great deal?
Possibly.
That's
not me, man. Not me. I'm ready.
Okay.
Okay. Good.
Napier, I just know that I'm going to be disappointed by the end of the finger story.
You think you're going to be disappointed by everything. When you go to Wendy's to get a hamburger, you think you're going to be disappointed in that hamburger.
She said that I'm probably going to be disappointed. This was probably a mistake.
If you have exceedingly low expectations for everything in your life, you're constantly going to be pleasantly surprised when you're not disappointed. So
now, Shannon,
maybe you're doing it the right way.
You said on your show that you had the end of the finger story, but that you were saving it for me.
That is correct.
Why is that? You do a show. Why not do it on your show?
Because they don't care. You heard them. They don't care. So I'm saving the conclusion for you.
But it's going to disappoint me.
Well, it might not.
Okay. Let's hear the end of the finger story, Shannon.
All right. Let's do it. So, my mom received after the finger a letter that said, you are about to receive another letter in the next week or two that will be revealing where we've been hired by somebody to send you all this stuff. So she's like, finally, I'm going to get to know who the fuck sent me a fucking finger. And it's really weird that they have to send me a letter announcing that they will be sending me a letter.
Okay. So now, if this were like something that what most people seem to think, you should have called the police.
Right.
I have a feeling this is going in the direction of it being a prank.
You might be correct.
If her reaction was to call the police, then would the this was all a prank letter not have come?
No. Let me get to the final thing. So, and you'll have a
take your time. I'm sorry for interrupting.
It was a real finger, right?
It looked like a real finger. It was pretty freaking convincing.
Did you see pictures of it?
Yeah.
Why have I not seen pictures of it?
Because I just recently got them. I kept begging. I'm like, someone fucking send me pictures of the goddamn finger. I'm texting my brother, my dad. My dad doesn't know how to text, so that was a lost fucking cause.
Okay, so she got a letter saying she's going to get a letter.
Right. Which seems really fucking ridiculous to me.
The whole thing seems ridiculous.
Yeah, the whole thing is weird. All of the Russian newspaper dated from the 70s that the stuff was wrapped up in, and all the letters and the pictures and... everything was fucking weird about it. It made no sense whatsoever. And the fact that it was all addressed to my mom with her maiden name was super weird. Anyway.
Travis.
It's like Big Lebowski.
Travis. Travis.
They're Nile.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was on mute.
Travis.
Yeah.
You're annoyed, aren't you?
I'm playing Sudoku. I'm not paying attention.
You don't care about the finger story, Travis.
I told you I didn't care about the finger story.
Oh, Travy pee pants. Why are you going to be like that?
Okay, so you got a letter saying you're going to get a letter.
Right.
Okay.
So my brother was in town. That was a Christmas present from my mom to both of us. She flew him out here for a week. It was really awesome. And I'm sitting there doing dishes and drinking a beer and just talking to my brother. And then he throws a lemon at me. And I'm like, you're a fucking dickhead. Why are you doing that? And we're laughing, whatever. Typical sibling stuff. And he goes, hey, do you want me to ruin your fucking day? And I said, of course I do. What do you got? And he's like, I sent the fucking finger. And I was like, you fucking piece of shit. I was so mad at him. I'm like, how do you ruin that for me? You ruin everything. He's like, yeah, he sent the fucking finger. So I'm like, okay, how did you do this? I don't understand. And he said, I paid $200 and this company will send a ton of weird shit to freak people out. And then they reveal who it was after a couple months.
$200?
$200.
I would have sent your mom a finger for like $20.
Well, yeah. It's all done. Russian newspaper for the 70s and stuff. I mean, it's probably worth $200. Ship is mysterious.
Man, I could get crazy for like 10.
Well, you know, my brother does make that engineering money, though. So $200, he's just like, whatever. He's like, you know, pays his cell phone bill on time, rich. So, yeah, that was the conclusion of the story. I was really kind of pissed off that it was just him, and my mom's life wasn't in danger.
What was the other finger story? Didn't you have a first finger story?
Oh, yeah, the other finger story, which is pretty freaking entertaining, was my gay...
Very disappointed in the finger story overall, Napier.
Did you just hang up on everybody?
I did.
You hung up on everybody?
I did.
Why? Call her back. Tell her we had technical difficulties.
Oops. Shannon.
Yeah, I lost you guys.
Yeah, we had technical difficulties. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't at all that I was disappointed in the finger story.
No.
But you are disappointed.
I am very disappointed.
How does it feel to be right?
As well. Sorry.
I thought it was pretty awesome, actually.
Good.
You thought
this
that
fucking
was...
Freeman guy with all of his positivity all the time.
You thought that was an awesome end to that story? That it was all a prank by her dipshit brother?
There's not some Russian dude without a finger somewhere. It was all a prank. So
that's way cooler than it was some lame prank by her brother.
Well, I'm just glad that my mom's life isn't in danger.
I'm not. You know? I don't know your mom.
Well, she's.
I want something fun for the show. I want some prank.
Okay.
What's that website? Give them a plug.
I don't know.
The
like,
$200 prank finger like website.
Something. It said something. Curiosity was in the company.
Has this been revealed to your mother yet?
Yes, she got the letter. Finding out that it was my brother about a week ago.
Is the finger candy?
I don't think so, but she hasn't tried to eat it.
That's why it's $200.
That's not really my first inclination when someone mails me a finger. Like, maybe I should just taste it. It could be candy. Fuck.
So it could be a real finger, though, right?
Yeah, but who's gonna be bold enough to taste it to just find out?
That's an option when you die. There's organ donors. There's people that donate their bodies to science. I want to donate my body to pranks.
It's probably just a plastic mold of a finger.
In a tube with some liquid. That's possible. I guess maybe for the next portion of the finger story, maybe I should... taste it, lick it, or something.
Smell it. Just smell it.
Well, it's in a glass
vial. Well, yeah, you should periscope yourself licking it.
Yeah.
Shannon.
I just can't believe, like, it could be candy. Like, out of all of the things that it could be, I highly doubt that it's fucking candy.
Shannon.
Yeah.
It's fitting that you're on the show. But people who are familiar with your history with the show that go back a long time may remember that you were instrumental in our campaign to get drunk a date with a porn star.
How'd yeah, with go? Sunset Thomas, and he won.
Yeah, he won in a large help by you. You helped us win that contest. And you were as disappointed as anyone when Drunk decided not to go to Las Vegas.
I was. And then the weirdest part of that was then they were like, hey, well, Shannon, since you did so much, do you want this? And I'm like, no, not at all. I was campaigning for Drunk to have sex with a washed-up porn star. I do not want to have sex with a washed-up porn star. And then they're trying to negotiate with me. Well, you don't have to have sex with her. You can just hang out with her. And I was like, no, none of those things are interesting to me.
Now, Shannon,
I think it's her drunk.
I think that we need to have a new campaign.
Okay.
I want to make drunk the new lead singer of Stone Temple Pilots.
I know they've opened it up to the public. And
they're having open auditions you can send.
They should get Mark Wahlberg to do it.
Yeah, like rock star.
They have open auditions. You can send your MP3s to them on their website. I feel like this is something that we can win for drunk, too. I mean,
well, you know, I was just amazed that you come together with a group of your podcasting friends and make some YouTube videos. And, you know, there's this other podcast out in Vegas that we really didn't know. And then we ended up winning and cross-promoting each other's shows. And it makes
you feel invincible, Shannon.
You can actually make things happen. I was absolutely...
Yep. I mean, how hard could it be to make drunk the new singer of Stone Temple Pilots?
Not that hard. I mean, if we can get him a date with the washed-up porn star and bottle service at the Hustler Club, we could do anything at this point in time. That was just the beginning.
Right.
Back to the YouTubes. I will start writing
so
again.
So what should the hashtag be, guys?
Oh, man. It was hashtag never forget or hashtag drunkard, sunset drunkard. So, ooh. Hashtag stone temple drunkard.
Hashtag drunk to stone.
Hashtag this one won't die of an overdose.
You can't guarantee
that. Do you guys
think
they'll be successful? You know, the Doors tried this with the singer from the Cult, and I don't think it was too successful.
Journey did very well with it.
Yeah, Journey did good, but I don't know. I'm just not a Stone Temple Pilots fan.
They had the guy from Linkin Park recently, and they couldn't sell tickets anywhere with him. I don't know how they're going to...
Yeah.
You know, sell tickets with some nobody. I guess Journey did it. Journey's still doing okay.
Yeah.
Sour drunk?
Hashtag drunk the planet.
Sour drunk Travis is good. Fucking... We're going with sour drunk.
Yeah, we are. Travis P-Pants fucking nails it every time. God.
Shannon.
Yeah.
So we're going to need you to put your campaigning hat on again.
I will. I will get back to the YouTubes. It's weird how much time I spent on those. Those little 2 and 3 minute videos between coming up with an idea and editing. It'd take hours for my daily YouTube video. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing?
I'll have a limited responsibility in this, right? Because the Muppets is back on TV after a little hiatus. So I don't know if I'll have any time really.
The Muppet takes up a lot of my time, too. I understand.
Travis, we wouldn't dream of cutting into your Muppet time, buddy.
That's cool, because I really like Piggy's fashion designer guy. I need to see what he's up to.
Oh, my God.
Uncle Deadly.
Yeah, Uncle Deadly.
Uncle
Deadly
is my favorite.
Fucking best. And Chip the IT guy.
Oh, my God. He's so awkward. It's awesome.
Well, guys, I mean, this has been fun. It really has. Sean, I appreciate you.
Thank you.
I didn't give you the password today, but we're working on it. And Shannon.
Yeah.
Your story really disappointed me, Shannon.
I understand. It's okay, Mike.
But when we make drunk the lead singer of Stone Temple Pilots, I feel like you'll be back in my good graces.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
Or if he doesn't, then I'm just going to have to work harder, and then we're going to have to do, I don't know, Dirty Talking Megatron or Optimus Prime or something. Next time that you need some female to make.
You're my go-to female. I don't know that many. So we'll be in touch.
Okay.
Nice meeting you, Shannon.
Yeah, nice meeting you, Sean. And happy podcast month, guys.
Bye.
Yep.
Bye.
Hashtag peas in a pod. Mike, did you see Deadpool?
I did.
What'd you think of Deadpool?
You know, it's funny. I enjoyed Deadpool, first of all. But, like, all of these stories are coming out about Deadpool, like, being this underdog.
And then, I never got.
It was like,
Deadpool's an underdog.
You know, it's such an underdog. It was rated R, and you know, they managed to pull it off. But it, I mean, it wasn't an underdog. I mean, it was a 26.
Everywhere you turned around, there was Deadpool. He's on Mike's Hard Lemonade, for fuck's sake.
I mean, they had to have had a huge marketing budget.
Did you see kids in the theater?
I mean, it was a $60 million movie, which is modest for superhero movies, maybe, but it's still a lot of fucking money. I mean, it was 20th Century Fox. It was a tentpole weekend. I mean, it's fucking Valentine's Day and President's Day weekend.
Yeah, nobody really wanted to open their big movie up against it, so I think that they kind of figured it was going to pull the money in with all the marketing.
So, I mean, it wasn't an underdog.
No, and it broke all records immediately. Like, it broke Thursday preview records, it broke Friday records, it broke R-rated records. I think they figured this was going to happen.
Right.
People wanted this movie.
I don't think anybody's really all that surprised.
No, well, after the only reason this movie was made is they quote-unquote leaked the test footage, and it blew up the fucking internet. Of course it's going to do all right. This isn't like the Snakes on a Plane was made because somebody heard Sam Jackson say, get these fucking snakes off the plane. This is an established character that if you walk into Walmart, for fuck's sake, everything has got Deadpool's face slapped all over it.
Right.
But with Deadpool right now, it's funny because 20 years later, this is how Wolverine, you know, remember in the 90s, Wolverine was the biggest character that existed. And he was created 20 years prior to that. And he was just like the antithesis to everything that was happening. So Wolverine was huge. He was all over all of the merchandise. And Wolverine has dropped off over the years. But 20 years later, Deadpool's the same kind of guy, but with like that smart aleck, you know, shit attitude. But now he has the benefit of the internet to like perpetuate his popularity. It's the same thing that happened with Wolverine, except now the internet exists.
Right. And the guys who did the marketing for this movie, fucking brilliant, man. I mean, like, he was everywhere. It seemed like, you know, every holiday or something, he was popping up with a thing.
Well, and Ryan Reynolds, like, totally embraced it because he, like, you know, he was constantly just taking pictures, like, in that suit and doing weird shit as Deadpool. Like, right. if you didn't have a star that was willing to go all out like that, I don't think it would have worked as well, but he was totally into it.
So we all saw it?
Oh, yeah.
Did you like it?
I loved it. It was the movie it needed to be.
I really liked it, and I'm probably going to see it again. I was kind of disappointed that it seemed like most of the things were in the trailer. Like, the trailer just gave away too much.
They're all like that now. The only way
they need to stop it.
The only thing you can do is just not watch the trailers. If you know you're going to see the movie, no
matter
what.
How can you avoid it, though? I mean, if you get on anything, it like starts auto-playing right there on your social media feeds.
I did it with Guardians of the Galaxy, where I watched the first trailer and then never watched another one.
And then you stopped watching them?
Yeah, as soon as something would come on the TV, I'd leave the room or change the channel and I didn't click on any of this shit online.
See, I have no self-control. Like, I'll spoil movies for me, like, while I'm watching them. Like, I'll get on IMDb and start looking at message boards, like, in the middle of a movie. Well, and I don't know why I do that.
Yeah, that's really dumb. The last time I did that was with the movie Foxcatcher with Steve Carell and, like, Mark Ruffalo and
shit. You started looking up. I did that while I was watching Making a Murderer. I was looking up that guy and what happens to him and stuff. I was like, well, I mean, obviously he's still in jail because they're talking to him on the phone in jail.
Right.
But, I was looking stuff up, and I don't know.
And it's super stupid. But Deadpool, I think, worked because it is like it's like if you pulled the character directly off of the page of the comic books. And as a comic book guy, for as far back as I can remember, I mean, I had an angry letter published at 13 years old in Detective Comics 672. You know, like, I mean, I've been a comic book guy forever, and Deadpool was a part of that teenage years of that.
Yeah, Deadpool was my big teenage one, too.
Yeah, he's perfect. I mean, Ryan Reynolds does a perfect job. Right. The annoying, shitty, smart-aleck remarks are spot on. The way he interacts with other, like, heroes is exactly right. I mean, the fact that he's willing to, you know, cut a hand off to get out of a situation, that is that character to a T.
There was a twist I was expecting at the end that didn't happen. There was no real twist.
No, not at all.
Is it a spoiler to say there's no twist?
There's no twists. It
was fine. It was a good movie. I enjoyed it.
One of my favorite bits in the whole thing was when he shows up to the X-Mansion and he knocks on the door and Negasonic opens the door and he's like, man, this is a really big house. It's really funny that every time I come here, I just run into the two of you.
So did you guys have little kids in the theater while you were there? Like their dumbass parents took them to it?
Not little ones.
I had some probably about 13, 14, you know, in that age range where you think, you know what, it's probably not appropriate for them to see full frontal nudity movies, but their parents are too fucking stupid to figure it out.
Yeah, it's teetering on the edge at that age. You know, it's like 16. Yeah, probably.
16's fine. But when it's obvious they're still in middle school.
Right.
Yeah, they're probably fucking morons.
Yeah, and my kids know who Deadpool is, and they think that the commercials for the movie are funny. There's, you know, come on. He's calling people cock guzzlers and shit.
I saw an article about apparently Wyclef Jean did a Reddit AMA.
What did they ask him?
I went to it. There was a link to it, and I went to it, and I could not find his reply to anything. I don't think he replied to anything, because the only things that the people on Reddit wanted to ask him about was he formed a charity organization after the Haiti earthquake. And apparently Haiti didn't get any of the money. there was an article that was kind of researching what happened to it. There was $16 million donated to the people of Haiti after the Haiti earthquake. And this charity organization that Wyclef Jean started spent $9 million of the $16 million on travel.
That's a fair amount of travel.
I was going to say, did he miraculously put out a brand new album as soon as he shut down the charity?
So he made which he's from Haiti. So, you know, he made this charity for his hometown and then just kept all the money. And so people are asking him about it. And he's like, oh, yeah, no, I'm not going to answer that. So he didn't answer anything from what I could tell. He wanted to talk about the 20th anniversary of the Fugees, which really, what did he do in the Fugees? Because I know that Lauryn Hill did a lot of the singing, and then like he was just kind of in the background going like, one time, two times. But I mean, like anybody really could have done that, right? I mean, the Fugees was Lauryn Hill and there was two other black guys.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right?
Yeah, but isn't there like seven Black Eyed Peas? What can they all do?
Napier, what would you say we learned from all of this?
We have fans. We have people who they don't necessarily listen to the podcast. They just play it at work, which if I played our stuff at my work, I'd
You know what?
Be fired.
This is what I ask for the people that work with Sean. If you listen to it all together, that's great. I love the community aspect. It's nice. But you all need to download your own separate episode.
No, they don't.
Yeah, go ahead and subscribe on iTunes and just rate it.
I mean, I'm not going to look at this and see like a download and say, oh, well, that download is probably a whole office full of people. That's bullshit. You
Why
all
do you
download get... your own.
Why? Will we get more money? Are the advertisers going to start rolling in because we start picking up office buildings?
No, it's for me, really, because, you see, now I'm going to have that in the back of my head when I look at our download numbers. I'm going to say, oh, well, each download accounts for a whole office full of people. Well, no, I'm going to think that way more. I need to be grounded, Napier.
Why can't you just appreciate them appreciating us and just say, you know what, that's cool. Dude plays it for his office. They enjoy it.
Just all download your own episode, okay?
No, screw that. None of you download this episode. I want all of you to listen to it once at the office and then never again. Don't comment, like, or subscribe. Just enjoy. Be happy. Have something that you enjoy that's not trying to, you know, whore you out to an advertiser so that we can buy potato chips. Or whatever we were going to buy with it.
I love potato chips.
Yeah, did you guys see the new Lay's? Like, they brought out a shit ton of new Lay's. You know, they did the
wasabi
whole...
Wasabi ginger was really, really good.
They got one, it's habanero, and another's like a really strong-smelling cheese. I don't... Yeah, Gouda and chive. I don't like that.
That sounds good.
It's smoky and, like, really assertive cheese flavor.
So it's a smoked Gouda.
Yeah. The Korean barbecue tastes like green stems. Like, you ever accidentally ate, like, a green stem off of something? It tastes like that and sugar. It's not good.
We'll be live next week. You know, there's just a thing. There's a thing that came up. So we're pre-recording this week. We'll be live next week. It's all good, guys.
You got to hear the finisher of the finger story that disappointed Mike. Be with Mike.
It was very disappointing. And I kind of feel maybe a little bit made up. Do you still kind of feel made up, Travis?
Aren't all pranks made up?
That sounds like a Shannon's brother thing, though.
I don't know. I hate the way the finger story ended. Napier, can you make up just a different end of the finger story for me?
Okay, what happened was there was a mix-up at a laboratory, and they accidentally sent her this finger that was supposed to be mailed to some college kids to learn about ligaments in the finger.
That's Whoops. Better. That's better. I like that. It's still a real finger, right?
It's still a real finger. Yeah, just, you know, whoopsie. You know, they sent it to, you know, 1780. You're supposed to go to, you know, 1708. Like, you know, down the road. Like, whoops. You know, just transposed a number, and now you got an office building full of, you know, 40-year-old people going, why are they shipping us fingers? Oh, fuck.
I want to say that if you were disappointed by the finger story, just go see Deadpool 2-3 times.
Yeah, that'll make you, like, way not disappointed in life.
Well, guys, that's it. Be sure to follow Sean at FreeManDaddy5, where he does intend to free the entire ManDaddy5. And check out his many podcasts, Knuckleballer Radio and Zombie Cast and The Social Dozen. It's a whole deal. Guy's got stuff going on in his little coat closet, you know? And Shannon, be sure to follow Shannon at Shannon One-Liner. Check out Not Safe for Water Coolers. Their website is a Tumblr page. So
that's weird, right?
That's where all the episodes are. Find their Tumblr page. That's where their the episodes are. And then, and that's it. That's the whole deal.
We love all of you.
Do you?
Yeah.
Don't speak for me.
You speak for me all the time on Twitter. Getting us into beef.
Nah.
Well, that's my mama.
I want you to know it's over.
Well, bye.
Thank you for listening. You can hear us live every Monday night at 9, 8 central on strangelabel.com. You can download all of our past episodes as well as other goodies at wfodix.com. Pull up our show on iTunes, Stitcher, or the TuneIn app. You can follow us on Twitter at WFODix. You can also follow Travis at ProduceTravis or Drunk at DrunkardSTL. We are on Facebook, facebook.com/WFODix. You can email us at WFODshow@gmail.com. Or you can give us a call when we're live or leave us a message that we may play later on. That phone number is 636-487-4263. Again, thank you for listening. We will see you back here next week. So you get on and tweet when you feel like tweeting.
Yep.
But you only reply to anybody when they send something to you.
Correct.
Well, that's not a bad way to live, I guess.
Yeah. It filters out all the negative nonsense. Sometimes I'll look for specific people that I know I like to see what they're up to. You know what I mean? Maybe give them a little heart. Maybe I'll retweet something you did. See what Jay Atson's going with.
Hey, just give them a little heart.
A little heart for you.
Hey, here you go, buddy.
I like what you said there.
I'll throw you one there.
Here's a heart.